Luke 5, verse 12. It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man, and Dr. Luke is the one who tells us, who was full of leprosy, advanced stages, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but to go and to show himself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according to Moses' commandment for a testimony unto them. But so much more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their diseases. So this record of the man who was cleansed of his leprosy. Let's pray. Lord, this is familiar territory. We sell our hearts before you. We have looked at this man before. I pray you may allow us to see something new, Lord, as we move through this passage. It's your word, Lord, and again, I love, Father, the fact that it never changes, that there seems to be foundations set in eternity that never change, and yet at the same time, it always seems so new and so fresh, Lord. We commit our hearts to you as we continue. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are today in the world, you know, as we look at this leprosy, it seems a little bit, I think, separated from the main course of life for us. But there are between 10 and 15 million cases of leprosy today in third world. There are leper colonies today. And in the United States, there are about 5,000 cases, Hansen's disease, leprosy. And there still is no cure for it. They're working on a vaccination, but they can arrest it, but there's still no cure. In the time of Christ, leprosy, the Hebrew word has the idea of being smitten, to be smitten. And the religious leaders of the day said leprosy was the finger of God. And they associated leprosy with being judged of God for some secret sin. And by the way, in that day, they said that leprosy was most often a judgment on sins of the tongue. Watch you all fall apart while I'm speaking. But of course, there are those today who kind of push that same theology. If you're sick, it's because you have a lack of faith or there's sin in your life, which is basically a denial of original sin. Sickness is in the world. One of the reasons we all experience sickness, believers and unbelievers alike, is because when Adam sinned, creation fell. And disease and sickness is throughout the earth and comes to believers and unbelievers alike. And it's ridiculous to point at someone and say the reason you're sick is because there's sin in your life or a lack of faith. Now, there may be times when God does that, but we can't put that in a box and into a category and put that stigma on everyone. But they did in the day of Christ. The religious leaders would do that. And one of the reasons they would is because leprosy was so much like sin. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. The Talmud, which was ancient rabbinic writing, lists 61 things that defile a person, and leprosy is second only to death. They said the most defiling thing, of course, is death, but next to that, they said leprosy is the most defiling thing that can happen in a life. And the leper was driven outside of society by the religious leaders, away from his family, his home, wasn't allowed inside the city of Jerusalem. Leprosy in its middle stages, this man seems to be in final stages, leprosy in its middle stage, they said you could smell from 100 feet away someone with leprosy in mid-stage. At 120 paces, they had to cry, unclean, unclean, to warn anyone they were around. Edersheim, in his Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, quotes two rabbis that lived in the day of Jesus. One said that he wouldn't even buy an egg on a street where a leper had walked. The other one said whenever he saw a leper, this religious leader, he would throw stones at him until he drove him away. and there was just this stigma that sin was the cause of God putting this on your life. They were the living dead. They were required to wear clothes of mourning. And like sin, leprosy was cleansed. It was never healed. There's no mentioning in the Bible of leprosy being healed. It's always cleansed. It's never by medicine. It's always by the miraculous. There's no prescription for the cleansing of leprosy. It has to be a miraculous act of God. And in regards to leprosy, you never went to a doctor. You went to a priest. A doctor may be active in the role of healing. A priest was just an observer, either to diagnose the leprosy or to say that the leprosy, according to Leviticus 13 and 14, was now cleansed. And we have no record, by the way, in Israel of lepers being cleansed except Miriam. That was before the law. And then we have, during the days of Elisha, and Jesus makes mention of it, Naaman the Syrian, who was not an Israelite, who was cleansed of leprosy miraculously. But in Israel, there's no record. And what that means is interesting, and we won't go into it this morning, but if you read Leviticus 13 and 14, not your normal devotional reading, but I suggest that you read it, particularly if you love the Gospels, because it throws so much light on the Gospels. There is two complete chapters dedicated to the diagnosis and sacrifices for cleansing in regards to a disease. Now, there's no other disease anywhere in Scripture that's given a half a chapter, let alone two full chapters. And if a leper then had never been cleansed in Israel, again, that means that chapter 13 was for the diagnosis, and many lepers were diagnosed. And you wanted to be accurate because you didn't want to send somebody with poison ivy outside the camp of Israel for the rest of his life. So it's very detailed in how to diagnose leprosy. But the 14th chapter was the offerings that were to be made when someone was cleansed. There's no record of that happening, which means that the 14th chapter was written for Caiaphas and Annas, the priests that lived during Jesus' day, because as far as we know, they were the only ones to exercise the sacrifices for the cleansing of a leper. That's why Jesus says, don't tell anybody. He wasn't paranoid. He said, don't tell anybody. Go to Jerusalem to the temple and offer the sacrifice commanded by Moses for a testimony unto them. And Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders and the heart of Judaism by the cleansing of lepers, saying, lepers are being cleansed in Israel, therefore God must be present. But like sin, leprosy often took years to come to the surface. It develops a hard spot often on the surface as it comes. It affects the nerve that may give you feeling in your fingers, your ears, your nose. Interesting, they're working on a vaccination for leprosy, and they're using armadillas. And the reason they're using armadillas is because the temperature of the armadillo is a little bit less than 98.6. They've discovered from studying leprosy that the reason that it's worse immediately in fingers, toes, appendages is because they're a little bit cooler, and the leprosy seems to do better, if leprosy does good, I mean, for the leprosy anyway, seems to grow faster when it's a little bit cooler than 98.6. So as we see a man who is filled with leprosy, they said in the middle stages, the nose would be gone. A man who is filled with leprosy, the fingers are gone, the toes are gone, the ears are gone, nose is gone. Sometimes a limb is lost, a hand. And one of the doctors I read who had spent time serving in a leper colony said that he was dealing with a door that was stuck and it was rusty and it was a key. He was trying to turn it, couldn't turn it. One of the lepers came up and asked if he could help, and finally managed to turn the key, and he was amazed at his strength. But he said he looked and his hand was dripping blood because the key had cut right into his hand and he had no feeling. And much like sin, you see, it slowly takes away our ability to feel, to smell, to hear. It takes away. Sin slowly erodes at our sensitivities and desensitizes us to the things of God. So leprosy is much like sin in that sense also. The book of Hebrews tells us this It says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened, that's like leprosy, through the deceitfulness of sin. And the thing about the sin is it doesn't run up and drive you to the ground like a linebacker. The way it starts in our life is like leprosy. It starts under the surface. It's not observable. We begin to play with thoughts. We begin to play with ideas. We begin to entertain things that we know we shouldn't. The Holy Spirit comes to us, says, you shouldn't do that. We say to the Holy Spirit, don't worry about me. I'm a mature Christian. I'm grounded. I go to Calvary Chapel. The Holy Spirit says, boy, I'm relieved now. And then he comes to us the next day that says the same thing to us. And what we're doing is we're learning to desensitize ourselves to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives instead of dealing with it right away. And leprosy is very much the same way. It removes sensitivity. It kills nerves. It takes away your ability to feel so that you're injuring yourself and not even realizing it. The 12th chapter in Hebrews says that we should lay aside those sins that do so easily beset us. And again, Campbell Morgan translates that sins in good standing. And the problem with our society today is there are so many sins that are in good standing. We've become so wanton and so perverted as a society that there are sins that are, you're almost relieved to hear, good old-fashioned sin anymore. Watching television is not a sin. I'm glad. But there are certain things on there that are like sins in good standing today in our society. Soap operas, things you watch, that you plug into the memory bank. And then, of course, what you put in is what you register. There are things in our society that have kind of become sins in good standing. And you and I have to be careful as believers, and if you're here and you don't know Christ, not to adopt the position of being politically correct about some kind of an issue, because our society is doing that. One of the beautiful things about leprosy in the scripture is there's two entire chapters devoted to its diagnosis and dealing with it. There's a whole Bible related to sin, but in our society we have lost the ability to draw any parameters around what is right and what is wrong. So it's not easy to diagnose in our society any longer right from wrong. And that is just a commentary on the depth that we have let ourselves sink to as a people. Now, I read this several months ago. This is from U.S. News and World Report. It gives us, in 1940, a list of the major problems in public schools in America. Listen to this, if you can believe it. Talking out of turn. You just did it now. Chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, cutting in line, dress code violations, littering. 1990, a nationwide census was done. 50 years later, these were the major problems in public schools. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, pregnancy, suicide, rape, robbery, and assault. Now, the problem is in 50 years, that's one generation, we have lost our ability even to register the things that were a concern 50 years ago. Our scale today, you know, it's not sensitive enough anymore to measure running in the halls, talking out of line. Our scale today has to measure drug abuse, murder, assault, rape, suicide. And as a people and as a nation, we don't even detect the things that were a problem 50 years ago. They don't even register on our barometer or our scales any longer. And in 50 years, as a nation and as a people, that's where we've come, and as a society. And it's no wonder. Our government is telling us we should outlaw cigarettes because secondary cigarette smoke can be harmful, and our government is telling us we should legalize marijuana. Leprosy has reached the brain in Washington. We want to save the spotted owl. We want to save the baby seals. And we want to put to death 30 million unborn human beings in 20-some years in the womb. And I see people that have public positions marching in the streets to save baby seals and then march in the streets so people can make a choice to put a baby to death. And to me, we've lost our minds. Where are our values? There is no longer a line that delineates between black and white and right and wrong. It is all this big morass of gray, and that's the soup that we live in as Christians. And the point is, we have to keep that from determining our value system. We can't be politically correct. We have to be biblically correct. We have a book that makes the diagnosis for us, and it's clear. And if we don't communicate to the next generation simple things about what is right and what is wrong, imagine the diet that they're going to be handed by a leprous society who no longer has any ability to feel or perceive. Now, the beautiful thing about this passage in Luke is I see Jesus Christ not ministering to the governmental leaders. He's not ministering to the religious leaders. He's ministering to the individual. And if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, the amazing thing to me is he is still willing to come and to minister to the individual. Because you see, the government may not have any meters to measure right and wrong any longer, or society may not, and even the church. Don't do what the church says. Do what the Bible says, for God's sake. Amen. But the individual is created with a meter inside that you can't escape. And you can wear the right kind of clothes and listen to the right kind of things and get your act together and try to fit in with your peers and try to succeed, but you still know that in your heart there is an emptiness. You still know in your heart there's a leprosy. There's something underneath that's eating that's not at the surface. And I thank God that unbelievers know that. They know it to this degree, though. Jesus said, men refuse to come to me because they love darkness more than light. So they know the difference. In fact, he says they agape darkness more than light. They're devoted to it. Because when a human being comes to me, Jesus Christ says, he brings his life into the light, and it becomes obvious that there's sin. Jesus Christ is not the latest guru. He is not laying out a path of enlightenment. He's not selling carrot juicers. He's not selling hairspray, you know, that sprays hair. Hairspray used to be something that kept your hair in position. Today, it sprays hair on your head. That's how fast things are changing. When I was a little, party was a noun. Now it's a verb. That's just 40 years. Jesus is a Savior. To approach him, there's an admittance of guilt. There is a coming for forgiveness. Now, the most amazing thing to me, though, is the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible speaks of his immutability. I am the Lord, I change not, he says. And he can still do for human beings what the government can't do, what the religious systems can't do. He can still do for human beings what psychology can't do and drug rehab centers can't do and all kinds of programs and hospices and government grants and the things that we throw money at. With all of our programs and of all of our rehab centers and all of our mental institutions, look at the condition we're in. None of that will help, and some of those things are good, but none of them in and of themselves deal with the root of the problem. They're all telling us about the symptom. Jesus Christ is the same. That is so encouraging to me. You see, because even as a believer, I find in my life there is leprosy. There's the leprosy of apathy in my life sometimes. Sometimes there's a leprosy of prayerlessness in my personal life, and it begins slow and gets out of hand. Sometimes there is in my life, and it's hard for you to believe, the leprosy of selfishness in regards to my wife or my kids. And when all that, you know, and I'm aware of the desperate need I still need to change, Calvary Chapel never healed anybody. The church and religious systems never did anybody any good. It's Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is risen. He is the same today as he was 2,000 years ago. And he is still willing to touch and heal the leper. If you don't know Christ this morning, don't say to yourself, I'm going to come to Jesus when I get it together. You ain't never going to get it together. You'll come back in 5 years with your nose rotted off and your ears rotted off, your hands rotted off, and we'll still be telling the same story about the same Jesus. This guy came to Jesus with all his leprosy and Jesus touched him. Jesus didn't have to touch him. Jesus could have said, be clean, you know. I mean, this guy had not felt a human being in years. He hadn't felt the embrace of his wife. He hadn't touched the head of a child. He hadn't leaned on the neck of a brother or a sister or a parent. He hadn't been with a neighbor to eat breakfast or talk about their gardens. This guy had been ostracized, and religion will do that for you. It will not cure your problem. The government will not cure your problem. You can blame everything on your life, on everything else, but there's something inside that Jesus Christ will deal with because he's the same today as he was then. And the remarkable thing, I don't blame this guy. This guy said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He doubted the motivation of Christ, not the ability of Christ. I think everybody in this room knows that Jesus can do it if he wants to. We question his will. Do you want to? I know you can do it, Lord, but will you do it? We question his willingness. And I don't blame this guy because the religious leaders have said, get out of here, man. Don't come to Jerusalem. Don't come to the temple. You are a sinner. And that's why God is doing this. This is the finger of God on your life. That's what they call leprosy. And he had probably spent years rotting away, searching himself, what sin did I do? Where am I guilty? Why is this happening? Why are the Pharisees or hypocrites? I see other people, Lord, nothing. You know, what is it? Do you hate me personally? Why is my life rotting away? Why is things never get better? Why, you know, and he probably went through all of the searching, heart searching. Is it something I did? Then he probably went through all the emotions of being bitter at God. God, if this is who you are, I don't want to serve you. You know, I hope I die. You know, he probably went through all the emotions. And yet, as he got around Jesus Christ, who was God and who had the finger of God on his hand, there was something in Christ that drew this man through the crowd onto his face and said, Lord, if you will, you can do it. And Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. One of the Greek commentators said it means I desire with all my heart. But that was secondary. The first thing Christ did was touched him. This guy had not felt a human hand in years, let alone the hand of God. The first thing Jesus did was put his hand on him. Now, of course, somebody says, well, then Jesus broke the law. Produce the leper. Where's your witness? And then he said, with all my heart, be thou clean. Now, let me tell you something. What I need in my life, personally, as I look at where we are, I think of responsibilities that I have, warfare, temptation. I need personally, and I believe I speak for every believer in this room, not just Jesus to speak, but I need him to touch me. I need the touch of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the touch of God to be real. I need the reality of God present in my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he's the same. He never changes. That he'll still touch. again, if you're an unbeliever here, we stand and pray at the end of the service. Don't be saying, I'm going to wait till I get it together. You ain't never going to get it together. That's the problem. It's eating at you from the inside out. It is a disease that we were born with. It is worse than AIDS because it has killed every human being that has ever lived since Adam. It may take 70 years to kill you, but sin begins to wear away at your body from the time you're born and will take you down sooner or later. Now, if you come to Jesus Christ and ask him to cure you of that leprosy, now Jesus didn't chase that leper into the fields. He didn't say, come back here before your foot falls off. The leper came to him. You have the capacity to choose today. One of the things that unbelievers don't like about Christianity is, well, you know, what I don't want is, you know, I'll have to do this and I'll have to do that. They don't like to have to do nothing. Well, you don't have to do nothing. You can choose. Well, I don't want to go to hell. If there's a God of love, you know, they want both sides of the sword. If there's a God of love, why would he send people to hell? He don't. He lets you choose. You can go if you want to. He will try to wear you down and get across to you, but you're not an animal who follows a migratory pattern because you have instinct built into your DNA. You're a human being creating the image and likeness of God. You have the capacity to choose, and God will not violate that. He's given it to you. Choose you this day, the Bible says, whom you'll serve. You choose. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He is alive, well, and returning. And right now he is touching lives and healing people of sin and giving them eternal life. That's your choice. That's your choice. But I encourage you to choose. We'll give you a Bible. We'll pray with you. Again, you know what's in here. You can fool everybody else on the outside, but you have to go home with you. You have to sit alone with you. You have to spend the next year with you. That's a scary thought, ain't it? I can spend the rest of my life with me because I have company. Jesus Christ has moved into my heart. And he's touched me more than once in my life. And I know he's willing to do it again. But as an unbeliever, you go home alone, just with you. You make the choice. When we stand and pray, I encourage you to pray. Ask Christ to forgive your sins. You come to him. You fall down before him. You say, if you're really there, forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me eternal life. Take away my leprosy. As a believer, I encourage you. Look, there may be leprosy in your marriage. You may be holding some root of bitterness. You may be mad at God for something he did do or didn't do to you. You may not be getting something you think you should get. Things may not be working out the way you want them to. I want to remind you, this is earth. This is not heaven. We get confused. And even as believers, there's that root of bitterness that gets in sometimes at human beings, at God, for circumstances. Don't wait until it desensitizes you. Because I have Christians, they come in for counseling. They've sinned. And you know what they say? I don't know how I got here. I don't know how it happened. I'll tell you how it happens. You entertain it. You play with it. Little by little, it takes away your feeling, your hearing. It desensitizes you until Satan knocks your legs right out from under you. And then you're laying there saying, I don't know how. Little by little, that's how. Don't let there be some root of bitterness in your life, some hatred towards your spouse, towards someone else. Don't be bitter at God because things are hard in your life. And they are. This is earth. As a believer, I encourage you, ask him for his touch and let it be real. Don't settle for anything else. Let's stand and pray.